The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, February 4th, 2018, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
I'd like to welcome you to worship here at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Indeed, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us be joyful and be glad in it. Let us pray. O God of the still small voice, our quiet inner spirit, help us focus upon you and you alone to hear your voice within. There are so many other voices demanding our attention, but we cannot attend to them without you. Be still and know that I am God. You say to us as you said to Elijah, may your voice speak through us. In weakness be our strength. In poverty be our wealth. In desperation be our joy. In apathy be our love. We cannot sing love song, O Lord, unless it be your voice singing in us. Take our hearts and our mouths, mouths to make your praise and thanksgiving a reality here and now. This we pray in the name of the Word made flesh, the light which is the light of all people, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God.
So it begins. What begins? When I was growing up in North Carolina in the mountains, one of my heroes would be my dad's dad, my grandfather. He had a few sayings that were southernized. I'll share them with you this morning. And you can kind of hold on to them if you want to. They've been good to me over the years. He'd always say, "Son, if you're going to do it, do it. Get on with it. Be about it. You can't plan but so much, you got to do it. If you're not going to do it, don't talk about it." Have you heard any of those kind of phrases growing up? He was also a firm believer in starting early and always being early and getting done early, because he was going to get drunk later on. So, well, that was my grandfather. It's just the way it was, you know. It ain't right, it ain't wrong, it is, it's what it was. But that was what he'd do. He worked hard and he played hard. He did all of those things, and he would say to us, and he would say to anyone, if you're going to do something, get on with it. Pee or get off the pot. I bet you've heard that one, haven't you? With another colorful metaphor in there. But he would say to us, as the scripture does, to get on with it, Mark's gospel is running gun. Have you read Mark lately? It's like boom, boom, boom. I mean, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. John the Baptist is arrested. Jesus is preaching, notice, in the synagogues. Jesus is preaching in their sanctuaries, in the Jewish synagogues. He's preaching to the Jewish religious community and the Jewish religious leaders. He's preaching to them, and he's going to these synagogues, and I noticed that he's doing something, and you know, I hadn't noticed this, and I have to be honest, was looking at this text for the last week or so, and something finally jumped out at me while I was sitting on the back pew back there. I told Carrie, this thing's kind of all messed up. There's something missing, something that isn't there, and I got it. It finally arrived. Better late than never, I would say. So notice what the text says. And Jesus has left the synagogue. They're in Capernaum, and they've gone over to a friend's house. Well, the friend's mother-in-law is sick, so she has to be taken care of. I mean, she had to get up and cook and clean. I mean, that was the woman's job, right? I thought I'd just climb off in that hole all by myself because it looks like no one else was going with me. So they got her up. She immediately begins to serve them, and all's good, all's fine, all's wonderful, right? And notice what else is going on in this text. I've lost my glasses. How did that happen? Notice now, as soon as they begin to serve them, that evening, At sundown, they began to bring all of these sick people to Jesus. But they wasn't just physically sick, were they? Sundown. Why'd they wait till dark? Because they couldn't bring these people out in the day because they were not accepted. You see, in the Jewish community, if you were sick, if something was wrong with you, if you had leprosy or you had a limp or you had a withered hand, all of that was because you were sinful. Because if you didn't have sin, God blessed you and you were wonderful. So if anything was wrong, it was because you sinned or your parents sinned, so they couldn't come out during the day. So he brings them out, but notice there's two kinds of people that are coming out. There are sick people, and then there are those who are demon-possessed. Notice that he healed, and he cast out demons. And then what I noticed was he was in the synagogue, and he was healing the sick and casting out demons. What does that mean? What does it mean? Demons could get in the synagogue and get sick people. They were faking it, church. It means that they were coming because they needed to come. They were faking it out. They were coming, but they really wasn't well, so therefore they shouldn't have been there, and they had demons. Now, folks, you're talking about demons. You need to read about these demons, but it's the strangest thing that says that these demons, Jesus told them they couldn't say anything. Because the demons knew him. Did you see that in there? He gagged them. He told them they couldn't talk because they knew him. And so it begins. The battle between good and evil. The good news. The religious fake, false, disingenuous religious community that was existing, where people thought they had to hide who they were and the problems they had so they could come. Where they didn't want to be or need to be real, they just needed to be present. And even the demons were able to come because it wasn't real. But when Jesus shows up in their synagogue, all of a sudden healings are taking place and demons are being cast out. There are some things we need to take away from this. As we should hear the words of my grandpa, we should get on with it. We should do it. Jesus says and is leading them in one other thing, and I'll get to it in a second. He's healing the sick. What does that look like for us today? Take your medicine. It may look like a box of Kleenex at my house lately, you know. How many of you have got them stuffed everywhere, Kleenexes? Pocketbooks, women, have you got your Kleenex in your pocketbooks? Used ones? Lisa's got the cold. We really do appreciate her for being here despite feeling not so well. For us today, sickness comes in many forms. I don't know that we would recognize necessarily an ability to cast out a demon, but I do believe that there are many sick that we can help. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm not a doctor and I don't know what medicine to give. There are a lot of sicknesses that don't require a drug. There is a lot of pain that don't require a shot. There are a lot of ways that people suffer and are sick that require our presence more than they require anything else. They require our time. They require our commitment. They require us to be part of their lives. I noticed that some of you listened to my message last week and you moved. They tried to confuse me, didn't you? But I also noticed we're great Americans. In Sunday school class, you already heard this. Unless you know that person, this is the rule, right? Look around. Don't sit closer than this. Have you noticed that? Even if you know them, sometimes you don't, right? That's the rule, isn't it? It's that space that we keep out. We call it the threefer deal. 3 feet, get out of it. Don't get in it. Don't come in it. How many of you get comfortable when somebody gets up and they just keep getting closer? And what do you start doing? You know? You start jockeying too, don't you? It's that presence that we call our intimate space. And church, we as Christians used to be known for breaking that space, of reaching in with hugs and reaching in with hands. This isn't a handshake. Let me borrow you, Nick. That's not a handshake. That's mean I got to do this thing. But this becomes a handshake. It's good to see you. Do you see the difference? How much does that help people on their journey? To be willing to sacrifice your space. To be willing to let down your guards. To be willing to step out of your zone and out of your space and to touch their life, maybe in a minuscule way, but you don't know that, do you? You don't know how much that touch, that call, that presence, that willing to let your space. Oh, we worry about somebody else's space. Quit worrying about somebody else's space and give them yours. Well, Pastor, what if they don't accept it? Then back off. Pretty simple. But share it. There are many ways to touch people's lives, but the best way we could do it is to tell them about our love for them, God's love for them, the love of Christ for them. That's the message that Jesus wants to go and share at the other cities and towns. He don't want to just keep it on this corner. He didn't want to hang a sign, healings 9 to 5, demons cast out 6 to 11. You know? He didn't want to put a blinking, some kind of open sign up out there and say, we just, see, they had done that, hadn't they? They pinned Jesus in to the temple at Jerusalem. They pinned God in, not Jesus. They said, this is it. This is the place. You got to come here at least once a year. You know, sometimes we put him in a building, don't we? The folks, when we put him in a building, we limit him and we limit his power in us to change people's lives. Jesus cast out the demons. You need to be aware that when you go to proclaim the message, the demons know it too. Don't think for one minute there is an evil in the world that seeks to destroy good. Don't think for a minute that it won't whisper lies to you, that it won't whisper discouragement to you. Don't think for one minute that the devil can't play every mistake that you've ever made in high definition and stereo sound. Don't think for one second that he won't use it against you. Well, even if you don't do what you think you should do, he'll use that too, won't he? He's got a whole bucket of stuff, but we need to remember that God's love endures everything, hopes all things, believes in us. And you know what? He loves us and he loves others. Not just me, because I'm worth it. Really? No. But he loves us. But I want you to see something that Jesus did that's really important for us this morning. Dennis, where are you at? Dennis, verse 40 starts the story that you had mentioned in Sunday school, that Dennis liked it. It's about a leper. Go read it. It won't take you long. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Got this demon thing going all right. You know, how many of you want to have a demon casting out at your house this evening? Fix some cornbread and pinto beans or something. We'll have a demon casting at 7. You know, there we go. And he would not permit them to speak because they knew him. He had the authority and the power. In the morning, underline this one. This one's for you and me. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place. And there, he prayed. How many of you like to get answers to your questions? Then you have to ask them. How many of you want hope for your journey? You have to seek it. How many of you want direction for your calling? You have to ask for it. How are you going to do it? In prayer. Folks, if Jesus did it, seems like it's pretty important. How did he do it? He got away. He got away. How many of you have a sacred place to get away with Jesus? How many of you have a place? Maybe you don't get to go there often. Maybe you go there often, where you can get away, just you and Jesus. How many? Come on. Got a few. Do you want to tell us about your space and place? You can. We won't go. Probably won't be able to find it. Sacred space, what is it? When I was in England, I went to John Wesley's house, which was beside Wesley Chapel. And it was interesting. Back then, they charged you taxes based on your windows. The more windows you had in your house, the more taxes you paid. Now, is that not strange? So they had bricked up all of the windows in these houses to keep paying the taxes. And you can plainly see that. But John Wesley had two windows upstairs that he had not blocked off. And one window let him look across the street to where his mother Susanna was buried. You can see Susanna Wesley's grave from John Wesley's up third floor window. The other one looked out into the back courtyard of his church. We're in the room where Wesley died. The bed Wesley died in is there. His high boy dresser that his mama had got him was there. And as we're standing there and standing and talking in the tour, guide's telling us all about it. He said, and there's one more place I want to show you. And there was a room. It was a round room. And it had no windows. It had no electricity, of course. You know, this was before electricity. But it had a lot of candle holders, I guess. But Wesley would only burn one candle in this room. And as the guy opened the door, he said, now, I would like you to find and see the place where Mr. Wesley, at 4 every morning, even unto the day he died, would go in and kneel and meet with the God of the universe. And where the God of the universe would welcome Mr. Wesley into his presence. And we could see the board that was down, sort of like a step, had been worn from the imprint of his knees. And the rail where he placed his hands was stained with oil from his hands. And there, across that piece of English oak, you could see where the tears had etched themselves into the wood. And we got a chance to go in one at a time. I didn't kneel there, but I found myself humbled to know that this man, who was only 5 feet tall, who had been beaten, who had went out and served miners bread and a message, who coined phrases like, to do all I can for all I can as long as I ever can, to know that Mr. Wesley had kneeled there every day for the last 30 years of his life to talk with God. We need to have a space and a place that's intimate to meet with God. It doesn't have to be a little room. Wesley's room was about 8 feet in diameter. It can be as great as the expanse or as small as a closet. Jesus prayed, so must we. Thus it begins. Before Jesus would leave that Capernaum scene, he would pray. And I'm sure in that prayer, God said, let it begin. May you have a space and a place where you can hear God say, get on with it. Move on. Get started. Where you can hear encouragement and know God's love. Amen. By his blood we're worthy. By his sacrifice, we are redeemed. Our gracious and loving God, let us know sacred space and place. That is where it should begin. Let us truly know a time of silence with you, where we can find courage and strength, witness and message. May our hearts be ready and glad as we prepare them to come to your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So may it begin, and may the grace and peace of God go with you, that grace and peace which surpasses all understanding, keep you, sustain you, encourage you, and in that sacred space and place, may you know that indeed you are meeting with the God of the universe, and He is delighted that you are there. And may we truly go to serve, to share, to touch lives, to take time, to be willing to give up our space and time to enter into theirs. May we find courage for our journey, faith in our questions, and now truly may you go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.